number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I feel like preaching, all right? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look with me in the Word of God. You get your place, go ahead and stand up with me. Amen. Rest them legs if you can. If you can't stand up, you just stay seated. It'll read well either way, all right? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. The Word of God says, now these are the, what's that word? Commandments. Wow, they're in the Bible. Amen. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So he don't just want you to learn them, he wants you to do them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all still alive? Amen. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son. Don't just keep it to yourself.
Right.
And all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Amen.
There's not a multiplicity of gods. The Lord our God, he is one Lord.
Amen.
Thou shalt, watch verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Amen.
I want to read that again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Amen.
These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as spotless between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, little g gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee.
Amen.
Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all the household, his household, and before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded unto us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord God, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Father, in Jesus' name, I would pray this morning that you would take your word. And I pray, God, that you would use it. I pray that it would not return void. But I pray, God, your will would be done in this house this morning. Oh, God, help us. God, I need your touch. God, these people need to hear from heaven. Lord, they don't need to see me. They don't need to hear me. But, Lord, they need to hear you. They need to hear your word. And I pray, God, that you would touch us this morning in a mighty way. I pray that you'd help the kids to be calm and to listen. I pray that you'd help mom and daddy to be attentive to your word. I pray that everything that's said and done here this morning would be done for your glory and for your honor. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have free course and free will and free reign this morning. And we'll thank you for all you do in the precious and the mighty and the magnificent and the lofty name. That's a name above every name. That is the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Deuteronomy, you can be seated. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It is God repeating to Moses and to the people what God had already commanded them in Exodus. God was here instructing his people for how they should live when they entered the land which he had promised to give them, so that they could enjoy the blessings that he had for them, and not only them, but for their children and their grandchildren and their generations to come. I want you to work hard at listening this morning. Their blessings were directly related to the obedience and their loving relationship with Jehovah God. It's interesting to me that in this reemphasizing of the law in the book of Deuteronomy, the word love is mentioned often. If I counted right, the word love in some form, whether it's love, beloved, or loveth, or love itself, the word is used at least 26 times. Many times we think about the law and people get a wrong concept of the law. But the word law used 26 times, or love 26 times in a book that is reemphasizing God's law. It often, just in my mind, logically, it goes to John 14:15, where Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen. You don't keep commandments if you don't love who commanded thee. Right. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. But verse number 5 is really where I want to focus this morning. In this text that we read, verse 5, he said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now, he's not necessarily trying to divide up the body. When we get into the New Testament, Jesus quotes this, and he adds another. And listen, it's not necessarily dividing the body and the mind and the soul and things. What he's saying is, with everything that is within you, love the Lord your God. The psalmist said it like this: "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me." What he's saying with your entirety, what he's saying is this: give God your all. And I want to preach on this thought this morning: a passionate Christianity. A passionate Christianity. When we think of something being passionate or something being full of passion, we think of something with zeal, something with a lot of emotion, something with a lot of love. It's passionate. We think, oh, you have a lot of passion. Matter of fact, when we talk about Jesus and how much he loved you and he went to the cross of Calvary, we talk about the passion of Christ. Let me say that you and I this morning, and listen, God has loved us with a passionate love, but he has commanded us and told us that we are to love him with all that we have, with all that we are, with everything about me, with every bit of fiber in my soul, in my heart, in my mind, and in my strength. He said we ought to love him, and I'm saying, church, we need to get back to a passionate Christianity. We're witnessing today the decay of our society. All around us, the moral fiber of which was once a Christian nation is now weak. It is rotten and it is eroding and falling apart with each passing day. Are you listening? Amen. Abortion.
Come on now.
The murder of innocent children.
Yes, sir.
The same-sex marriage.
Oh my.
Divorce. 50% and plus in the church. Adultery. Fornication.
Preach.
immoral living, transgender confusion. Well, I don't know what I am. No, they got a mom and daddy pumping in their head that they don't know what they are. Or a school teacher. It's common sense what you are. Drug use. Drunkenness. Hey, let me go back to drug use. How about prescription drug use? How about the abuse of prescription drugs is rampant in the church? Got people like church members that can't carry on a normal conversation or carry a job because they're hooked on prescription pills. Hallelujah. Drunkenness. Crime on the rise. Streets wild. I'm talking about like maniacs going through streets, flipping police cars, setting buildings on fire, stealing, looting. Parents, teachers, God, all disrespected. Police officers and all authority disrespected. People in the church seeking pleasure at all cost. I mean, these things have become the norm. And we wonder what's wrong. Can I say, church, we are losing the next generation. Why are we losing them, preacher? We're losing them because we're passing on to them a watered down, anemic, powerless, pathetic, passionless Christianity. I say to you this morning that we must be passionate about our God. We say that God loves us. We say that we love God. And let me say, we sit back and we sing victory in Jesus like we're singing woe and agony and despair is me. Help me this morning. You might as well go to church with me. Might hurt a little bit, but it'll help us. Amen? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, listen, we must be passionate. Daddy, you must be passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Mama, you must be passionate about the God in heaven. These children are dependent on you to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Amen.
He deserves it. These children deserve it. Let me say to you this morning, new levels bring new devils. When we reach new levels in our relationship with God as an individual, as a church, there will be new devils that we face. There will be opposition. And listen, I just read a whole list of things that are opposing the church. And I say to you this morning that lukewarm, half-hearted, passionate church, as usual, is not going to get the job done. Dragging in church, barely getting there. I can't come to Sunday school. It's too early in the morning. But to get up and go to work at 5:30 and 6 o'clock every day. Can't get to church by 10 o'clock. When they get there, they see how great they are. You ask somebody to pray and they pray for 20 seconds. Are you listening? You say we love God and people's dying going to hell. We got to teach people about Jesus. Let's go out on visitation and you get 6 people out of 120. I'm talking about, listen, lukewarm, half-hearted, saying, oh, how I love Jesus with my lips, but not saying it with my life. It's not going to cut it. You're concerned about these young people. You're concerned about these teenagers. You sit around and you see what's on television. You see what's in politics. You see what's going on out around us. And you say, I'm concerned. Do something about it. You say, what can I do? I'll help you get passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about falling in love with God so much that it changes your life. You say, I can't do those things. I can't commit my life. I can't do that. I've got to do this. I've got to work overtime. I've got to go here. Listen, your priorities are out of whack.
Right.
Are you listening to me? I love you, church. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you that if the church does not change the priorities, the church, listen, is going to struggle. I know the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I know that he said that. Listen, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ. But he didn't say that local assemblies are shutting them down every week. Right. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about we've got to fall in love with Jesus and get back to serving God passionately. I'm talking about loving him. Remember what he done for you. Amen. Just coming in, dragging in, riding the pew ain't cutting it, friends. Look around, see where it's got us. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. God, help me. I want to motivate you. I want to inspire you. I want to help you. I'd like to see this church full. Hey, listen, not for my sake, but for the glory of God. I'd like to see sinners on the altar getting saved every week. I'd like to see buses running. I'd like to see walls getting busted out. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with church as usual. Well, we go over there. We've always gone over there. We're going to go there. But we ain't going to do nothing. Just as Israel was to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, you and I. And Jesus said it in the New Testament. Somebody's sitting there saying, well, that's Old Testament. Well, Jesus said it in Mark 12. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and watch this, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Can I say to you, Jesus ought to get our best. He ought not get what's left. We work, we put in all the effort all week long, then we drag the church, and it's like, I'm taking a nap. I say God deserves way more than that. God who loves you, he deserves more than you to take a nap in church. He deserves a passionate Christianity. He deserves some people to be hot and on fire. He talked to that church in Laodicea and he said, thou art neither hot nor cold, thou lukewarm. And he said, I'm sick, I'm ready to spew thee out of my mouth. What did he say that? Did he lay? He told them, listen, he said, listen, you'd be better off to be cold or hot. But he said, hey, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That word zealous, it means to be boiling, to be on fire. Did I say, church, we ought to get on the altar and ask God to light our fire? Probably ought to crawl under the altar and say, God, I've let jobs, I've let pleasures, I've let people take priorities in my life. But God, starting today, I want to get back to you being number one. Amen. I want to love you with everything that's in me, God. Amen. God, help us. You say, preacher, what should we be passionate about? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you about, I don't know, four or five things. Number one, we ought to be passionate about his word. Right. We ought to be passionate about his word. Look down in verse number one of your text. In verse number one, he said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. He said God wanted you to know. Can I say that if the God of heaven, a sovereign, holy, omnipotent, all-powerful God, if he cared enough that he wanted you to know something, he gave you some commandments, we ought to passionately want to know what they are. Amen. Amen. And he said, watch this. He didn't say just to teach you. Watch, he said that she might do them. Well, we got a Bible, preacher. Well, we don't read it. It sits on the coffee table. But we got us a Bible. Are you listening? The Bible has become a dust collector in most homes. When is the last time you picked up your Bible and you spent time in the Word of God, reading it, finding out what it says, not being spoon-fed, but you personally reading the Word of God and finding out what does God want me to do? I'm talking about being passionate about this word. I'm talking about the word of God. We say, well, we got the King James Bible. It's the perfect, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Well, why don't you read it if it's the word of God? We say, oh, it's a love letter from God to me. Then read it. So you can do it. And not just do it, but down in verse number two, he said, thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. He said, I want you to keep them. But I like what he says there in that verse. Read, keep reading. He said, thou and thy son and thy son's son. You know why most of these kids don't know anything about the Bible? Because the mamas and the daddies and the grandmas and the grandpas hadn't spent time with them telling them about the Word of God. Well, say, I thank God for a mama that when I was 3 or 4 years old, put me on her knee and started telling me about the things of God. I talk about a mama who set me on her knee and told me, listen, she started with them stories like David went out and killed a Goliath. I'm glad that I know that David went out and killed Goliath, because now I know that God, listen, his power in me can kill and slay giants in my life. Amen. Some of y'all don't know where we're at this morning. Listen, we're in the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, Daddy, you got a responsibility to tell your children about God. Don't, well, we drag them to church and we drop them off. No. That's not going to cut. I know people that won't come to church on Wednesday night, but they'll drop their kids off on Wednesday night. Well, we took them and dropped them off. Hold on. God has commanded you to teach them, Daddy. When's the last time you had a family altar, Daddy? We ain't got time for that. I mean, shucks, family don't even sit around and eat supper together. Hey, listen, you ought to make time to sit around and have a meal together as a family. Well, we're too busy to do that. Then you're too busy. Are you listening? If you're too busy to sit down with your wife and your children and have a meal together, you're too busy. Stop. Listen. I'm trying to help. Many times around that table. Listen, many times when people do take time at the table, they don't talk. It's woof, 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 get up and run. How about sit down at the table? While you're at the table, Daddy, tell them children, look what God's done for us. He saved me. He saved Mama. Look at the food He gave us. Look at the house He gave us. God did that. When you sit down, when you rise up as you go through your day, teach your children the Word of God. Teach them what God has done for you. Said that thy days may be prolonged. The next generation is not going to know the Word of God if we don't tell them. Right. Well, that's the preacher's job. Yeah, see, well, that's God's. We've set the preachers up as they're the only ones. Friends, the preacher being the only one sharing the Word of God ain't going to cut it. That's the norm. And you know what? You're going to have to personally get passionate about the Word of God. Tell somebody. Read it to somebody. Tell them this is what, not I think, not what the readers do, but this is what the Word of God says. Because you've read it. You've learned what we ought to do, what we ought to keep. Verse 6 says that these, what I command thee shall be in thine heart. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt, watch this, watch it, Daddy. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently, not just teach them, but diligently unto thy children. And watch this, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What's he saying? He's saying, as you go throughout your day. Verse 8, he talks about binding them on the post of the house and on the front door and on your head. Some of the Jews took that literal, but what he's saying is, let the Word of God be preeminent in your life. Teach them diligently. Bind them. Write them. Verse 17, he says it again. You shall diligently teach the commandments of the Lord your God. I'm talking about not just saying, oh, I got a Bible, it's sitting over there, but being passionate about the Word of God. Learning it, loving it, living it, and leaving it to the next generation. Passionate. Well, preacher, I went to church Sunday, and I heard a Sunday school teacher. Preacher, I went to church Wednesday night. It's not going to cut it. We are facing an enemy that don't care about you. He don't care about your children. Right. He don't care about this church. He wants to destroy you. Right. He wants to see this church wrecked. He wants to see your home wrecked. And he will go at all cost. And the Word of God says you better beware and be on the watch out. He said you better beware the wiles of the devil. The tricks, the strategies. Church, Be passionate about the Word. And then we need to be passionate about our worship. Passionate about our worship. Verse 13, he said, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. Swear by His name." Jesus, Matthew chapter number 4, in verse number 10, Jesus said this when He was facing the temptation of the devil. In verse 10, He said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Deuteronomy 5:8, we can go back one chapter and see verses 8 through 10. And Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, and he said, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me." Don't bow down to anything. The word worship comes from the word. It means to see the worth of something and to bow down to it. To give it adoration. To give it praise. In Deuteronomy 30, in verse number 17, the word of God says, "But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other," little g, "gods, and serve them, God said, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God deserves a passionate worship. He don't deserve us to worship a bass boat and a fishing pole and a pocketbook and, listen, a nice car, listen, or a job, or even if it's a lawnmower, it doesn't matter what it is. God doesn't deserve us to give all to them and come in on Sunday and nod at Him and say, "I'm here, God. Bless me if you can." I know y'all don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, "Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph." I tell you, we've got something to be excited about. There's a God in heaven who's a sovereign God of the universe. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He's immutable. He does not change. He's holy. He's lovely. He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. He's faithful. He's true. He's righteous altogether. I'm telling you, we serve a God that's in a class all by Himself. Amen. There ain't nobody like Him. And He deserves your worship. He deserves you to bow the knee. He deserves you to fall on your face and say, "I adore thee, I exalt thee, I lift you up, I praise you, I honor you, God." He deserves us to embarrass ourselves making much of Him. You say, "Well, I'm not raising my hand in church. I'm not shouting hallelujah. Somebody will laugh at me." Well, let them laugh. You're not talking to them. Let them laugh. You say, "But if I cry and I get emotional in church, my makeup will run." Hey, they sell it every day. Are you listening? I'm trying to help us this morning. If this church, I'm talking about New Hope Baptist Church, does not get passionate about the Word of God, does not get passionate about the worship of our God, this church will die. We don't lift our hands. Well, you're disobeying God. He said that we may lift up holy hands. I don't talk in church. He said to testify. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't shout. He said to shout. Are you listening? A healthy hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, it'd be all right during a song once in a while. Just to fall on your face and say, "God, I'm not worthy, but you are. Oh God, you're holy. You're magnificent. You're a jealous God. You don't deserve leftovers. You deserve my best. God, here I am. The best I know, I break my alabaster box. I pour out everything I've got, everything I've saved up, anything that's worth anything to me. God, I'm pouring it on you. I'm not worthy. You are. I'm afraid this is foreign to many of our churches. Many of our Christians know not what I'm talking about. Talking about our God, the word worship means to fall down, prostrate before, and to adore them. Preacher, I'm not going to do that. Preacher, I'm not making no ruckus in church. Why are you here? Why are you here? Who are you here for? Are you here to see me? I'm as ugly as I was last week. Are you here to see Rodney? He's over there. Brother Steve's over there. Brother Rob's over there. Everybody's here. Are you here to look at the new dress somebody got or somebody's haircut? If you are, you're here for the wrong reason.
Amen. Amen, bro.
This is God's house. We set apart this place to worship God and Him only. And can I say He deserves our worship not only in this house, but He deserves our worship everywhere we go. He deserves your worship in your car.
Amen.
Listen, inside TMI here, my wife will tell you, one of my best places to worship God is in the shower. Nobody's in there. The curtain's closed. You can worship. You can praise the Lord. Pray, sing. Are you listening? Find you a place and make much of God. Lift Him up. Tell Him how great He is. If you can't do it in private, you won't do it in public. Learn to worship God. You can worship Him with your lips. You can worship Him with your life. You can worship Him through giving. It's not a chore to give offering. I love it. Each week when I write down how much I put in the offering, it's not a God, do I have to? It's God, thank you that you give me this. Thank you that you allow me to take part, a small part. But God, thank you. The Bible said the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Not to brag about. Not to say, look what I did. But God is watching. You can worship God passionately. Let me say this. See, preacher, I'm not getting carried away like that in church. I'd like to see you when juniors play t-ball. I've been to some little league ball games. Didn't y'all play ball? Didn't y'all boys play ball? None of y'all? Man, y'all play ball. Didn't y'all girls play ball? Matt, you play ball? Come here, buddy. Come here, help me real quick. You play ball? Come here. Come here. What kind of ball you play? Baseball? What about you, Blake? T-ball? I'm just going to be willing to venture. All right? I'm going to be willing to venture here. How you hold the bat? How you hold that bat? You get that bat up there like that? He looks like Chris Davis. Getting ready to hit a home run, right? He got that bat up there. He swings that bat. I mean, that ball goes, woo! It goes over the fence, though. Yeah. And I can imagine grandma's over there saying, whoopee! That's my boy! That's my grand youngin! You get embarrassed. They probably hollering at him. And Blake probably, don't. There they embarrass you. He laughed. And then Maddox gets up and he says, I can do it. Or somebody hits him a ball and he dives and he catches the ball. Man, you're trying to tackle me. You ain't playing football. And mom and daddy and all, listen, all his kinfolk. Oh, look at Maddox. Yep. Nothing wrong with that. God to put that emotion in us. Nothing wrong with that. I hate to tell y'all, but my man won the race last night. 22. I like NASCAR. I like racing. I was happy. You know, temporarily, it didn't last. Those home runs, they don't last. I've hit home runs in ball. It's fun while I like, but it's gone. Those days are over. There's a God in heaven who's holy, magnificent, mighty, and righteous, and just, and loving, and faithful, and all-knowing, and all-powerful. And we can't say too much about how good He is. And He never changes. I said He never changes. And we have the opportunity this morning to come in here and to lift our hands and lift our hearts and say, oh God, we exalt You. Oh God, we lift You up. Oh God, we worship You. But that's not our tradition, preacher. Can I say church? A lot of people come to church and they don't come back because when they got here, they said, I've been there and I've done that. Right. And they come to church and they say, it's just like all the rest of them. No use coming back. Don't be alarmed when kids get out of a good, solid Bible preaching church and they get up and leave and go to some contemporary, charismatic chaos. You say, why'd they fall for that? Because when they went there, somebody was passionate about what they was doing. They may have been wrong. They may have been wrong in their doctrine. They may have been wrong on their standards. But they were showing some passion. They were alive. I'm not condoning the wrong doctrine. I'm not condoning the compromise. What I'm saying to you is people are looking for something with life. And the Word of God said that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm telling you that if Jesus lives inside of you, He said, listen, in John chapter number 7, He said, I'll be in you like a river of what? He didn't say a whale. He says like a river. It's gushing. It's a river in you. Some of us need to break the dam and let the water flow out of the river. Are you listening? We ought to be passionate about our worship. We ought to be passionate about our work. He said, serve. Verse 13, serve Him. The word serve means to work, to do labor. To serve as if I'm a subject to another. Like when we say, who can help with the nursery? Not me, I'm not doing that. When we say, who can help clean up the church? Who could help with a work day? Oh, I ain't got time for that. Saturdays, I'm going fishing. I'm going to the ball field. Be passionate about your work. I've got to clean. Listen, you realize it's a privilege to clean the church. It's a privilege to mow the lawn. It is a privilege to do things for God. We used to sing songs in church. Used to hear them a lot. Like, we'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all remembers that song? Most of you is older. Most of you. You know why? Because we've lost that. We're not here to work. We're here to be entertained. We used to sing songs like, who will go and work for me today? Seems my children all want to sit around my table. But who will go and work for me today? Who's going to serve God? We sing this song still. I will serve Thee. Why? Because I love Thee. Many times I'm afraid we serve Him because we have. If we stop and say, I get to go on visitation. I'm going on visitation because God loved me and He saved me And I want to tell somebody else how good God is. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to sing in the choir. I get to. I want to serve Him passionately. That means when I sing in the choir, I want to do my best. I want to be at the practices. I want to be on time. I want to sing with all I have. I want to, listen, I want to put everything I've got into what I'm doing. Can I say to you, when I preach, listen, I want to preach to the point that when I'm done preaching, I am totally exhausted. Because I give it all. Well, listen, we ought to be that way in everything we do for Jesus. Well, I have to run the bus. No, you don't have to. You can quit. Church can go down. You can quit. But ask yourself, do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? We ought to be passionate about our walk. Verse number 7, he talked about when you're sitting down, when you're lying down, when you walk is by the way. As you walk is by the way. Hey, Daddy, you're walking in your way. And as you're living, as you're making the choices, discerning and deciding and living according to the Word of God, and your child says, hey, Daddy, why? Why don't we go over there? Well, son, there's a principle in the Word of God that says that light has no fellowship with darkness. So, son, since that's in the Word of God, we're going to apply that principle by not going to that place. Okay, Dad, that makes sense. Dad, why do we go to church? Worship God. Well, son, the Word of God says that God loved us. God gave His Son for us, and He came, and He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again to pay for our sins. We trust Him and save us. Because of that, son, when He rose on the first day, believers began to worship God on the first day of the week. And so, son, that's why we worship God on the first day of the week. The Bible says to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And son, I see the day approaching. As I look around, I see that Jesus could come back at any moment. And so, son, we want to be faithful to the house of God. I'm talking about in your walk. Incorporate the word passionately. And listen, I'm concerned about Christians who live the Christian life flippantly. Watch verse 18. Verse 18 says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thee. Do you realize, listen, he was talking about physical blessings to the nation of Israel, but in application to you as the church of God, do you realize that God has some spiritual blessings that are hinging upon your obedience? God can't bless you spiritually the way He wants to until you learn to know His Word and to obey it and to do right. God will never bless disobedience. God will never bless unfaithfulness. Sin always has a payday. The wages of sin is death. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Bob Jones, a great preacher in years gone by, Bob Jones Sr., he said this. He said, do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Or he said this out of that verse, in verse 18, he said, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall, do right. You got a decision in life. You got a decision in your family. You got a decision with your wife or with your children. You got a decision with what you're going to do in church. You got a decision in your business. You got a decision at work. You got a decision concerning a relationship. Here's a good principle. Do right. Do right. Somebody wrote a song off of Bob Jones' quote. It says, do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right though it's never known. Do right since you love the Lord. Do right. Do right. If you love the Lord, do right. Be passionate. I can't do this thing. It will hurt my testimony. I can't go there. It will hurt my testimony. Whatever happened to those days? I'm not going to wear this. It doesn't look modest. God help us. Used to worry about how people dress outside the church. Now they're bringing immodest clothing into the church. I know it's hard. I know it's tough raising children. I've been in some of the clothing departments, but you can do it. It takes a little effort. You might have to be passionate about it. Right. Ladies, you don't have to wear it so tight that it... Listen, it might be covered. You don't have to wear it so tight that everybody knows. Man, nobody wants to see the three hairs you got taped on your chest. I'm talking about where are the days where we apply the Word of God. Where's the days where just because I can don't mean I will? Oh, I can do a lot of things. All things are lawful. But all things, Brother Mitchell, all things are not speedy. In other words, listen, as a Christian, I'm in liberty in Christ. I can do. I can be led by the Spirit. I can do whatever. But just because I can doesn't mean I have to, because sometimes things that I can do, though they may not be sinful, they may be hurtful to someone who else that would be tempted to do something that would drag them further down. I tell you what, just learn to say no to the flesh. Do right, do right. Be passionate about our walk. Let me say this. Be passionate about our witness. Watch verse 20. Look at verse 20. When thy son asketh thee. Listen, it's interesting. When thy son. Wonder what's going on. Daddy, tell him. Mama, tell him. When thy son asketh thee in time to come. What mean these testimonies? The word testimonies. Witnesses. The statutes. The judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Watch verse 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son. This is good. This is what you tell him. Here's what the word means. We were Pharaoh's bondsman. Past tense, we were. He's telling them about the bondage. Listen, when you think about Israel being in bondage to Egypt, it's a picture of you and I being in bondage to sin and to Satan. He said, we were, past tense, bondsmen in Egypt. We were bound to sin. We were locked up in chains to sin. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He's speaking here of God's delivering us from bondage. And then he brings us not only out of bondage, but into a place of blessing in verse 23. It says, he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land, which he swore. I love that verse 23. He brought us out so he could bring us in. He brought me out of the miry clay. He brought me out of the pit. He brought me out of sin so that he could bring me into a place of spiritual blessing. So that he could put me in a place where I could live the victorious, spirit-filled Christian life. He brought me out. Hey, children, I couldn't do that when I was in Egypt. I couldn't do that when I was bound in sin. Oh, but the God of heaven came down by my way. Hallelujah to God. And he came down my way. And he cared. And he come down into the horrible pit. And he got me out of the miry clay. And he placed me on the rock. And he established my going. And he put a new song in my... When your son asks you, just tell him how good God's been to you. Just tell him what God's done for you. And what God can do for them. If we will be obedient to his word. We ought to be passionate about our witness. When somebody asks us, tell them. We have the opportunity. Tell them. You say, I don't know all theology. I don't know all the doctrine. Hey, tell them what happened to you. Amen. I don't know much, but I know this. I was blind. Jesus come by, now I see. Come meet a man. I can't tell you everything, but come meet a man that told me everything ever I did. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if he reached down into your life and he changed your life and he radically saved you, go tell somebody you can do it for them. Be passionate. I hate to ask, when's the last time you shared a gospel tract? When's the last time you told somebody God wanted to save them? Can I say, church, we should be passionate about a God who is passionate about us. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying that we should live passionately for him because he passionately die for you. Let me say this. He desires it. He deserves it. And he delights in it. See, preacher, I'm at a four at myself if I get on fire and start living for God the way you're talking about, just giving God a... You say, I'll look like a square peg in a round hole. You know the Bible says we're peculiar. You know the Bible says that we're in this world, but we're not of it. You're not supposed to fit in. You're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. You're not supposed to be every day ho-hum. You're supposed to be different. They're supposed to see you. Let your light so shine, watch this, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We need to tell others what he's done for us. If we, listen, if we do not, we will not experience and enjoy the blessings that God has for us. And not only that, but if we do not, we will not pass the torch to another generation. How many of you grew up and was around a shouting, happy church? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. How many of y'all been around some people that praise the Lord? Raise your hands. Come on. How many, look at that. How many of y'all been around? Hey, let me say something. These children deserve to know that. How many of y'all ever been to a revival where God really moved? And I mean, people got saved, people got right, throwed away their sins. How many been around a revival like that? Some of y'all, man, I feel sorry for you if you ain't. We ought to pray. We ought to get serious and be passionate because you know what? These children deserve to be in that atmosphere. They deserve a chance to see passionate Christianity being fulfilled. And if we don't, we'll have no one to blame other than ourselves. Don't listen. Don't sit in your seat of complacency and cold satisfaction. I got everything I need. You sit there like that. Don't complain when the church closes. Don't complain, listen, when preachers are thrown in jail. Don't complain when the sodomite crowd roams the street. Don't complain when society is in the pit. Don't complain if you don't do anything. If you don't live passionately. If Jesus and God is not number one in your life. Being faithful to the Word of God, to the house of God, the things of God. If you're not passionate about it, you have no one to blame when the downfall comes but yourself. But if we will be passionate about it, if we'll get on fire for God, if we'll be passionate, watch this, it'll be exciting. You'll come to church and you'll be going home and say, man, I don't want to go home. You'll go home and say, man, is it church time yet? I want to hurry up and get to church. I wonder what's going to happen at church tonight. Man, we had a service this morning. Wow, man. You see them sinners that we invited to church? You see them people get saved? Man, I can't wait to see what happens tonight. It'll be exciting. It'll be delighting. You'll like it. And it'll be inviting. Because if the church catches on fire and gets passionate, I'm talking about when the noise was in the house, people's going to come. Hey, listen. How you draw a crowd? I'll tell you how. Start a fire. You start a fire, people watch it burn. I was a kid, go through town, we'd be riding through town, mama going shopping. All of a sudden you hear siren. Woo, woo, woo. I say, mama, follow that fire truck. Follow that fire truck. You know why? Because it was exciting. It's exciting. The church gets on fire. People in the community start hearing about it. Man, I heard y'all had a service down there. Man, I heard y'all shouting. I heard the preacher preach till 1 o'clock. I heard nobody cared. I heard y'all was having a good time. I heard that choir singing when I rode by. I heard that choir singing out on the road. And they ought to. Thought I'd just come in and see what y'all so excited about. Amen. Be invited. Let me ask this question. Miss Haley's beginning to play. Will anyone know? Will, listen. Let me ask this question. I'm done. Will anyone know? Will anyone enjoy the blessings of God because of your passion for Christianity? And I'll leave you with this. If you, listen, if you do not want this world to die after you, then don't you die in this world. Let's be passionate about our Christianity. Father, in Jesus' name, take the word of God. Use it. Do the work in our hearts.